This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg, sorta, on this Saturday morning, the 8th day of March. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning.
And a good morning to all you first responders and everybody who does. Out there on the Supernatural Highway. You know about the Supernatural Highway?
Supernatural Highway?
The Supernatural Highway, it is called I-20 between Conyers and Covington, is called the Supernatural Highway because of the vampire-like TV shows that were filmed in Georgia out in that area, the Vampire Diaries.
I've never heard it called that.
Yeah. The original. All those shows, because they were out there so much, they gave it that name.
I mean, but I get it, but I've never heard that
before.
You
really heard that? Yeah. No. They call that stretch... The Supernatural Highway, because of all that. Anyway,
strange.
That very interested voice in this insignificant nugget of information is Jason Longstreet. He is the fifth Beatle. Thank you, Vittimulch. Man, welcome back. I ain't get to work with you these last few times you actually sat in for me. So.
Yeah, I've been sitting in for you a lot lately.
And I've been hearing about what y'all said about me, as Richard Pryor said.
We said a lot.
I heard what y'all said about
which
me.
Which specific part? Because we said a lot.
I can imagine doing this down the street. Anyway, no, I heard about, first of all, I've saved this for you. You've been in here for how long? About half hour?
Yeah,
no, about
a little
45
bit longer
minutes.
Now. Yeah.
And I know how you guys have fun with me, so watch this.
What is he? Did he get a Bucky's hat? He did get a Bucky's hat.
Subtle.
Okay.
I got one for Sam, too.
Okay.
I got one for my man.
All right.
Who, by the way, sent us pictures. Noel will come out here in a little bit. He's in, went down to Macon.
In Macon.
Right.
And, Georgia High School Basketball Championships.
And he will be on with us next hour.
Yep. We'll get caught up on everything going on down there.
So when I got back here last week, I heard about you sitting in. I heard about the great shows that you did with Sam and you and Noel been killing it. And so I said, well, what, you know, anything? Well, they made a lot of fun about you. And they made fun, you know, fun of you with Bucky's and all that
we
sort of
We talked
stuff.
A lot about Bucky's. It's true.
Do you know how surprised I am that that is now attached to me in that when we started this whole Bucky's thing, I wanted nothing to do with that joint because I wasn't a brisket person.
But you went now, right?
Oh, I've gone a bunch of times.
And you love it, don't you? You do.
Hang on a second. I don't necessarily love it. I find it an interesting stop on what is normally a just kind of a boring drive between Sarasota and here, which is where I was going most of the time.
I was about to say, which one did you hit? Because there's a few depending on which direction you're going.
I would hit the one just south of Macon when I would come up from
there before.
My father.
Yep.
But here's what I noticed. So last week when you filled in for me, well, one of the times, the last time I was actually in Alabama. And I went out there to do a job. And when I came back, I hit the one. Now, Sam told me about this just before you cross over the line. You know, into Georgia. So I stopped there, right? And that's where I got the stuff for Sam and, you know, and got him one, and I got a hat. And they had something I was going to buy. I really was. I was surprised because now that I've been going so much, they had baseball jerseys.
I saw the baseball jersey.
With Bucky's across it?
I saw it this week when we were coming back from Dalton on Tuesday. Yeah, the baseball jersey looked pretty good.
I was ready to slap down some money for that. And it wasn't that expensive when you think about mm-hmm. baseball jerseys, mm-hmm. right? Except the one I saw, what they do is they put the name of the state on the back instead of your name.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't get one from Alabama.
That's fair. Sorry, Alabama.
Yeah,
but that's
what. So I want one from Georgia.
Yeah.
And then Sam sent me a picture yesterday, him and Kyle Sandy, and he's standing by one of them jerseys, and it says Georgia on the back. I know he didn't buy one for me, but I'm going to make a little side trip, and I'm going to go up there. Anyway, man, how are you doing? We're going to do a deep dive in Atlanta mm-hmm. United, but
I'm just glad you've fallen in love with Buc-ee's. All of this created a love for Buc-ee's that now you are going to multiple different locations around the Southeast.
I also get stuff for Tracy, you know, to bring home because
yeah.
she likes some things from there.
Sure.
So it ain't all about me. And mm-hmm. plus, I get it on the way back. I never get it going because they wanted to know if I was going to get something, you know, the people with the production company want to join us for dinner. And the first thing I said was, are we going to shoot whatever you need to do for me after dinner? And she says, yeah. I said, well, no, I'm not eating because I just can't eat and that because I feel
Fair
like
enough.
I need a nap.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't want to shoot after that. And I don't even want to bring anything to the location I was going. But on the way back, because I don't eat the sandwich. I take the brisket off and the turkey and whatever else I get, the three meat one.
Good.
Yeah, and I make some other stuff with it because I got to eat like right. Because I knew I had a doctor's appointment this week too.
Fair enough.
So I got a good checkup there at Piedmont.
Good job.
Like
did you work on the Milli Vanilli documentary? Because that was the other revelation that we had. Yeah, we had a Milli Vanilli conversation and we thought maybe you were off working on the documentary.
No. I don't even know what you're talking about.
We were making it up.
You
know,
okay.
We had an idea.
Okay.
We had a thought. You know, you weren't here, so we had to think of something you were up to. Milli Vanilli came on, and we're like, oh, maybe he's working on the documentary.
Would you watch a Milli Vanilli documentary?
Actually, I probably would. Like, that would be really interesting, like a really good documentary on it. Because we were talking about this. Like,
now, wait, was it you and Sam or you and Noel?
All of us were talking about
okay.
this. We're all in on this. Yeah, we might have to start a GoFundMe for you to do the documentary.
All right, go ahead. I'm listening.
Maybe a reenactment. I don't know. We could figure that out. But how did the dance come about for Milli Vanilli? Because that was ridiculous, and it actually worked at the time.
For them? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that was horrible dancing. Horrible. They're like jumping up and down and running in place, and that actually
yeah, but they had
worked.
Crazy hair and they were in them tight pants.
But then they weren't singing. So, like, how did you actually get the singers? How did all of this happen? How did we miss it?
Okay.
Wait, Jason, I got one for you. So, it's funny that you bring up
I'm
the horrible dance moves because that's actually what they were doing in Germany. They were backup dancers.
Thank you.
This was a thing that they were being paid to do, and I agree with you. It was very lackluster. And kind of really elementary.
Ladies liked the way they looked.
It was the hairography, too. The
yep,
hair was swinging
yep.
all the place, the extensions. And,
yep, yep.
Yeah, man.
But I'll give you one other thing, too. They were not the outlier because this was a time in this country. First of all, music did it for years back in the 50s and 60s.
Right.
Right? But the more blatant ones when we got into video time was not just this one. It was what they did with the Weather Girls.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was the worst one.
Yeah,
that was true. The worst one.
That one doesn't get talked about much.
Well, I'm talking about it now.
Go ahead.
And I hate to give props.
We didn't even get to the news of the day.
I know,
and
right?
You're already talking about the Weather Girls.
What did I do? I gave her an assignment, Noel.
You just blew past the assignment.
Okay. I was basically just going to say Paul Schaefer wrote that song, and it got clouded over by that craziness. Anyway, mm-hmm. Do you have a story of the week? Noelle's will come on here in a little bit because I know she's got sparks coming off her knuckles, and I thank her for coming on here. But this is going to be fun this morning with the three of us because I'm looking forward to you two playing tennis with a couple things, too.
Mm-hmm.
But story of the week.
Yeah. It came out this week that FIFA is thinking about having a 64-team World Cup. So the World Cup in 2026, the one that's going to be here, 48 teams. First time they've had 48.
Okay.
Now in 2030, which is the 100th anniversary of the event, first one 1930, it was in Uruguay. The Uruguayan Soccer Federation president proposed a special format of 64 teams. It makes more sense from a format perspective because if you're going to get to a round of 32 or a round of 16, you want groups of four. It makes it easier to do everything. That part's true. But if they go to 64 one time, they're not backing off of 64 the next time. Like, FIFA likes money.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. Any league organizing committee, any of these people, they like money. So you get to 64 teams, it's weird. And I know we talk about this with like the NCAA basketball tournament and college football playoff and you're diluting the competition and this and that. You have qualifying around the world that happens for like a 2-year period before the tournament.
Right.
The last couple of tournaments, you've had big national teams miss out. Italy has missed out. The Netherlands have missed out. The United States missed out in 2018. So you'd kind of avoid that typically. You'd have your biggest countries play. It is only every 4 years.
Right.
I'm a big history guy. I'm not as upset about the idea. The question for me is then who can actually host the thing? Because when you're talking 64 teams, you're talking 16 groups of four. You need a whole bunch of stadiums. You need a whole bunch of infrastructure to be able to handle that. You're either going to do the United States, England, they have the stadiums that could do it. Germany could do it. Or you're having a group of countries come together to do it.
I have a question. Is this a viable answer to that question?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of countries, with the exception of one, why don't we move it from continent to continent?
You kind of could. Travel can factor in, and a World Cup's typically over a month's period of time, so you don't want teams flying a whole bunch
between the continent. Asia hosts this one, then the Americas host the next one, then Europe hosts the next one, and Australia hosts the next. You know what I'm saying?
You essentially do that now, but I think even inside the continent, you need a smaller group. So, like Europe, you could have Germany, Belgium, the Netherlands, and France host.
Right.
And spread it out across those, and the travel's not too bad. In Asia, you could get a group of countries together to do it.
That's what I'm saying.
You could do that. South America, and right now, look, infrastructure-wise, you'd probably have to do that.
That's what I'm saying. You knock that part of the process out, okay, and then rotate them.
Yeah, and they will, and they're doing that on the Women's World Cup side, too. I think the thing is, it's very fast to go from 32 in 2022 to 48 teams in 2026 to 64 in 2030. But once you open that door, you're never coming back from it, and is everybody ready for this? I don't know. It's going to be interesting because that conversation is going to build up between now and 2026 when everybody's talking soccer in this country.
That is Jason Longshow. He is in for Mr. Crenshaw, who is out on assignment. He'll be back tomorrow morning. This is how much I love you. First of all, we got to go. I'm going to save my story of the week because I wanted you to have the floor today. But I took two things from everything that you just said.
What did you take?
One was that you sort of glossed over this is the 100th year.
2030 will be, yeah.
The 100th anniversary. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's significant.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that impressed me was you properly pronounced Uruguay.
Uruguay.
Yeah, most people say Uruguay.
Yeah.
I got that, though.
I work at this.
But see, a lot of people wouldn't get that. So I'm saying that was very impressive because I would not have been able to.
It's a tricky one to try to hit.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a tricky one to try to hit right. There's a player from Argentina that's in MLS that it's the trickiest name that I have to say on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Maxi Urruti. Urruti.
Say it again.
Urruti.
Gesundheit.
Yeah. I don't roll my R's super well, so it's very hard. But yeah, that's the hardest one. I have to almost like take a second and think about how to say it.
I'm going
to
have so much fun here today, and we're just getting started. Jason Longshore is in for Sam. Boy. Noel's on the other side of glass. I'm going to get my story of the week here coming up here. But, you know, Jason is just getting started as far as talking about Atlanta United. He's got actually got to work tonight, too. So, you know, we will do not just the next segment, but later on in the show. Also going to talk with Noel. Sam's going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. Caleb Johnson, Tim Scarborough, just getting started on this Saturday morning. Thank you for letting us be a part of it. It is Sam and Greg with Jason Longshore, as I said. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Take us with you on the Odyssey app.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg, Mr. Longshore, Jason Longshore sitting in for Mr. Crenshaw this morning. Sam will be back tomorrow. Every time I hear this, I think of rest in peace, Quincy Jones, but my struggles with brushes as far as drumming versus sticks. Mm-hmm. I just never felt comfortable. He's using sticks here, but this would be also a song with brushes. And
right.
That was kind of a hang up with me. Anyway, coming up in this later in the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about something historic going on in sports, but very few people are talking about it. I mean, historic. And we're going to get into this in this next segment. Going to get also into a deep dive at Atlanta United. They take on the Red Bulls today. And on the call is my partner here, along with Mike Cotney, Jason Longshore. So we're going to talk, obviously, Atlanta United throughout the show here. Going to get to that in just a minute. But can I do my story of the week here real quick here?
I guess, yes.
Okay, thank you. We won't have to need the sounder again. I was going to talk about the Children's Hospital, because I got a chance to go out there, Arthur Blank Children's Hospital, mm-hmm. this past week, met some incredible people. I think all those people who work in healthcare are angels. I saw it on the caregiver level with my father. You get up and you struggle through traffic and you drive to a location, whether it's somebody's home personally or to a facility like this, and spend your day helping people. Yeah. You get a pass, like there should be music as you enter into heaven,
mm-hmm.
as far as I'm concerned. But that's not what I was going to talk about.
Okay.
If you signed a contract this past week, Jason, that gave you money that put you in the stratosphere of very few people, like, say, $100 million, you would be walking on cloud 9 for at least a few days, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. You wouldn't expect to get rolled up on and made to feel somewhat like Chris Rock when Will Smith got on stage. And I'm talking about Stephen A. Smith.
Well.
Who signs his contract and went and sat in the front row there at that Lakers game, and LeBron James came up, and from all the reports that we get, kind of got, well, we saw the video, but basically pulled a keep my son's name out your mouth sort of moment. Mm-hmm. And you just have to imagine Stephen A. Smith standing there like Ralph Kramden going, homina, 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 homina.
Oh, he probably loved it.
Well, he enjoyed the fact. He says he didn't know that it was seen the way it was, but then again, people don't think about the technology that's ever present.
Right. You're not thinking about, you know, everybody else seeing that and how their reaction's going to be, but he knows what he's doing. That's why he's getting paid.
Wait, hang
that
on
money.
A second. You think that was because he didn't expect
No, I don't think it's staged. No, but like once it happens and you see, like, okay, this is out there, cool. Like, he's fine with that.
And he used it to his advantage.
Yeah, that's what he does. And he's really good at it. I'm not saying that in a negative. I'm saying that in a positive. Like, he's incredibly impressive at how he's able to pivot on things.
That comes back to him.
He doesn't get super sensitive. He doesn't say, oh, no, you can't talk to me. Like, he doesn't do any of that.
Well, I will say that he does get super sensitive about certain things. And it's when people do what he's perceived to do, and that is just blatantly throw stuff out without the context or the fact-checking.
Yeah, no, that's different.
He gets sideways with that.
But I'm okay with that.
The other question, that was something I enjoyed, and it was out there for everybody.
Oh, highly entertaining, yeah.
But did you see, once this contract came out or was announced, it wasn't reported, I should say, where he landed on the sports broadcasting hierarchy?
He's third, right?
He's third. He is sitting, and I was telling Tracy about this, and I was surprised a little bit at the people on this list. So the top eight people, as far as you watching sports, no matter what it is, if this person's doing it or talking about it, this is the list they want to be on. So coming in at number eight, Joe Buck at $15 million for ESPN. Number seven, Shaq just signed his contract, so he's 15. He's in number seven. Then, which you could imagine was going on in the Stephen A. Smith negotiations, was I want X amount more than this guy who comes in at number six. And that's Pat McAfee.
He deserves more.
$17 million.
And no knock. I mean, I'm not a fan of McAfee. He's somewhat entertaining on WWE at times, but Stephen A. does more, and I think he's done more for the brand. You know,
well, I think because McAfee came in with a large audience,
he did.
That was attractive to ESPN.
I get why they paid him, but yeah, Stephen A. deserved more. I'm sure he negotiated.
I find him, like Nick Saban, refreshing on College Game Day. I just there I don't mind them.
At times, I think when he blends into the group, yes, but at times it's a little bit too much of me.
Okay.
And it's just, dial it down a little bit.
Coming in at number five, you heard the names I've already mentioned. Coming in at number five, though, is Tony Romo, $18 million.
It's so funny how we do this stuff where Romo comes in and the first year, everybody goes insane about how good he is.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second year, everybody says he's the absolute worst. He's neither. Like, I think he's very good.
Mm-hmm.
I like his style. I know the conversation has been about prep and, you know, is he informed on all the teams, all that kind of stuff. But I think he's very good. The last Super Bowl he did, I thought he was very good. I think he gets a bad rap because everybody... It became easy to do that. He became the punching bag for everybody.
The guys on that that network don't go after athletes, I feel, because it was the same thing that was said with Phil Simms before him, as opposed to the other guys who would say, I don't, you know, and they would give, well, the guy who comes in just ahead of Tony Romo, Troy Aikman will get on somebody. He'll get on a team. He'll get on a coaching staff. He'll get on a coach, although he loves Joe Burrow a little bit too much for me.
Everybody doing this has guys that they like.
I know, right? John
Madden
was about Brett Favre.
Yeah,
So anyway, so that's where Troy's number four, Stephen A's number three at $20 million, and he's just below Charles Barkley, who's at number two, $21 million. Mm-hmm. But I think it's funny that they're all looking up at Tom Brady, who's like Barkley's two at 21, and then you got to go to 37 before you get to Brady.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole nother category.
It is what it is, right?
It is. Everybody has, if you're a fan, you have people that you like. You like how they sound. You like how they talk about stuff. You just like what they've done. Everybody's got their favorites in it. That number, that set of rankings isn't necessarily quality driven. It's what they were worth in the marketplace when they got a contract. And Tom Brady parlayed his career as a quarterback into an incredible contract to talk about things.
He pulled a college coach move.
Yeah.
In that I could play another year of football. Mm-hmm. And Fox like, no, we got to get rid of these old guys that we got there, which, by the way, Jimmy Johnson saying goodbye this past week. But we're waiting on Terry Bradshaw and they're bringing Gronk in. So they've got to revamp that whole.
Now's the chance for them to completely re-envision it. And
right.
I hope they take it. I don't know if they will. I feel bad, and I'm really curious to see on that list when Greg Olson's contract comes up.
Right.
And he's available in the market because he's outstanding at what he does. And, you know, they made a business move to bump him to 2 and to bring Brady. You can't put Brady at 2 when you're paying him that much. You have to put him out front. So,
and they just had their Super Bowl, so it'll be another 3 years before they get another one.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting, that side of stuff. But Stephen A. getting the money that he got, I know how people get, you know, up in their feelings about these sorts of things. He's earned it.
Oh, no, he has. Listen, he is what he is. And
he's highly entertaining.
This generation's Howard Cosell and all
Yeah,
that
that's
stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so God bless him. Anyway, Jason Longshore in for Mr. Crenshaw today. Sam McGreg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com. And, of course, if you get Jason in here, you got to talk Atlanta United. They're taking on the New York Red Bulls today. That's going to be down on Star 94 if you can't get in front of a TV. Pre-kick at 6:30. Kick at 7:30, and the floor is yours to give us sort of a, well, whatever you want to pass on, at least at this point, sort of a setup for this game, this season. We're all going to talk later on in the show about this team. So for purposes of right now, what do you want to prepare us for? What we're going to see today versus the Red Bulls?
Yeah, we'll get deeper into the X's and O's, the nuts and bolts of it later in the show, where we'll hear from Ronnie Dyla, the manager of Atlanta United. But one thing, what you just said about where you can listen, keep this in mind. If you watch MLS on Apple TV, you can listen to the home radio commentary on Apple TV.
Oh, synced okay.
Up. They do that for baseball as well. They do it for MLS for the home team radio. So you can listen to Mike and I synced up with the game on Apple TV. Just go into your audio options and pick home team radio. So Apple TV is where MLS is. We were talking about this beforehand. MLS is in a really interesting situation right now because you are 1 year away from the biggest sporting event in the world coming to your country. And there's been all kinds of talk about what does MLS do to capitalize on the World Cup? You know, this week we saw here in Atlanta the Sonic ID, which is Sonic ID, I think a lot of people didn't know what it was. When you watch a World Cup, when you watch an Olympics, when you watch something like that, and they have the theme for the broadcast, like the broadcast starts and it comes in. The Olympic theme is iconic. The
right.
World Cup theme for each edition is different. And it usually represents that country. The Brazilian one sounds like samba. So that's your normal broadcast theme. But what they did this time around is they worked with producers in the local markets to remix it to sound like that city. So you got Dallas Austin here in Atlanta.
Okay.
Came out really good. I like it. It came out really good. So when they go to Atlanta, so they'll come in for the broadcast in 2026. It's the national theme for the broadcast. Then when you go to Atlanta for the game in Atlanta, you'll hear the Atlanta Sonic ID. So this stuff is starting to ramp up now as we're, June 11th of 2026 is going to be the first game.
Wow.
June 15th is the first game here in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So all the conversation around MLS, around soccer in the U.S. is, are we ready? What are we going to do to capitalize on this? What now? What do we do in the buildup? Are we doing enough? All these kinds of things. It's kind of like what we did here in Atlanta before the Olympics, a little bit.
Very little, because it's completely different times.
Yeah, and I think some of what happened with the Olympics here is maybe driving a little bit of that conversation with the World Cup of, we maybe could have capitalized on it a little bit better at that time if we'd been thinking not just what do we do to get there, but what is it going to do in 2027? What is it going to do in 2028? And I think that's the conversation that's starting to bubble up here in Atlanta, but also for Major League Soccer. You know, you're in an era now with broadcasters. We were talking about broadcast salaries. Soccer is in a really interesting spot because the whole broadcast world is in a different spot. You've got Netflix doing live events.
Right.
Netflix is going to get a major property here at some point.
Yeah, it's called Beauty in Black. It's done by Tyler Perry. And I think that the rest of you should pay attention to the butler on this season two. Anyway,
you're not going to be getting Stephen A. money for that show, I don't think. I don't think. No. I don't want to rule it out.
No.
I don't think so. But, you know, they went out and they got WWE, which is a huge broadcast property, a big deal. That the numbers are big for that. They're going to get more. You know, they've dabbled with live sports. They're going to get more. Amazon, they're going to get more. They're into it getting pretty heavy. The streamers are changing this paradigm. We're so used to what's ABC doing, what's NBC doing, what's CBS doing, what's Fox doing, what's ESPN doing. Now, double, triple, quadruple that number in terms of people who can spend Apple TV. Prime example, they have Major League Soccer right now. There's a lot of conversation about, okay, now MLS is not in the ESPN universe. They're not talking about MLS as much. They're talking about soccer.
Right.
They talk about MLS some. Is that good or bad? In the past, and the NHL went through this, you weren't getting talked about. You were invisible. Mm-hmm. Now, is that really true, the way that we consume sports news, games, all of that? I don't think it is. I might be wrong.
I wonder, and we're going to get on out of here. I wonder how much of the monitoring of who's watching and all of that has to do with how much betting is going on. And then
that's
how
another
do you
huge factor.
How do you discern between what people are watching because they're enjoying the sport or this team or whatever it is, or they're just there to bet? And that's what's being suspected about ESPN. They're getting rid of a lot of their talk shows to try and find more live games.
They drove the NFL. Gambling has driven the NFL in a huge way. College football as well. The live sports content that for a while it was so premium, now you can pull up. I mean, I could pull up soccer games from probably, I'm just going to guess, 60 different countries right now on my tablet sitting right here. And yeah, there's going to be people who are maybe a little degenerate and maybe throwing a few juice boxes on things. And that might drive a little bit of it. But it's just, we're at a point now where you can broadcast, you can stream, you're not tied to a TV, you're not tied to cable, and it's going to change everything. I think soccer is going to benefit from it in the long run.
You mentioned another sport along with soccer, as we were talking about this, that has, you know, just sort of a weird position in viewership, and that's hockey. We're going to talk about something that's going on right now. Right now, one of the biggest events in the world of sports, and it's barely being talked about. Jason and I are going to dip our toe into that up next. As he sits in for Sam Crenshaw, it's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. It is Sam and Greg with Jason Longshore sitting in for Mr. Crenshaw this morning on this Saturday morning, March the 8th. Listen, as we get into this next well, no, I'll tell you what. I'm going to wait till 8 o'clock.
Hold up. Do you know why I requested the four tops?
Oh, you requested this?
I did request the four tops.
Okay, no. Why did you want to hear some Levi Stubbs?
On this day, they were signed to Motown Records.
Were they?
Yes. How much do you think their advance was when they were signed?
$500.
$400.
You were close. $100 apiece. I figured it would be about no more than $100, but I figured maybe Barry gave him even $500.
No.
Yeah, okay.
$400 advance. Yeah, exactly.
So what year was it? This was 60 what?
Ooh.
64?
Yeah, I think it was before that. Oh, man, I don't have the year on it.
Okay, that's all
right. Yeah, early 60s.
We throw this out there all the time, but who was the first number one? The first number one hit of Motown, do you think you could guess?
I have no idea.
Or I tell you what, not even the song, the artist. Because this threw me when I first heard it. They had a lot of, you know, top fives, top tens, but it was their first number one threw me.
Who was it? Who broke through?
Mary Wells.
Oh, okay.
My guy.
Yeah.
And I just, like I said, just one of those pieces of insignificant information.
I like it.
And I threw that out there. When we were talking about the LeBron thing earlier and getting into Stephen A.'s face, I was thinking of famous confrontations between athlete and broadcaster. And when was the last couple?
What's the first one that comes to mind for you?
The first one that comes to mind for me is Vince McMahon and Bob Costas.
Yeah, that's I wasn't thinking that, but yes, that was
the first one for me.
That was one of the first times you saw the Vince McMahon character that you would see on WWE.
Right. Mr. McMahon.
Yes. Yeah. Come out in public. Yeah, that was one of the first times.
Bobby Knight and Jeremy Shapp.
Yeah.
Where he told him he got a long way to go to be his old man.
That was
cringeworthy.
That was not good.
Those are the two that popped into my mind. Do you have one?
Jim Rome and Jim Everett.
I think that was staged.
Everybody absolutely denies that it was.
That may be true, but it looked too like he was ready getting in the starting gates, Jim Everett.
If it was staged, nobody handled it well afterwards because it didn't help either one of them, really. Jim Rome ended up being fine. I don't think it helped him.
I was just going to say,
absolutely hurt Jim Everett. If he agreed to stage it, it was a horrible look for him.
There was also the co-sell between Ali and Frazier, where Ali got up and then Joe Frazier got up and they had a little tussle. Yeah. That was kind of staged. But
yeah, that was.
But anyway, they got me thinking about those two here. And speaking of Ali Frazier, did you know that today was the day that was the fight of the century, March 8th? And I just find, I know we're going to get into this hockey thing here, but I just find this is one of those things in sports that is just amazing. Okay. Ali Frazier, the fight of the century, right? And
which one was the fight of the century?
The first one.
But where was it?
It was at Madison Square Garden.
Okay. The MSG one. Okay.
And taking pictures for life. This is how big this fight was. It's 71, right? Taking pictures for Life magazine. Frank Sinatra.
Jeez.
There's pictures of Frank Sinatra holding a camera. People are taking pictures of him because he's taking pictures for Life magazine. But that's not even the part I'm talking about.
Okay.
We know who's associated with Ali from this point on throughout his career. But when this fight happened, Don King listened to it in jail. He was in jail when the first fight happened, got out, and then promoted the next two. Now that's hustle. That's hustle.
I'll give him credit.
And then he also promoted Ali Foreman.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one I want to say, not the Rumble in Jungle. It was in Jamaica, I think. Anyway, but he was in jail.
Wow.
On this date in 71.
It's crazy. We're talking boxing and those massive fights and... When was the last time we had anything even close to that in boxing?
Well,
that doesn't involve a streamer.
Yeah, thank you. But that's not real. And it's
not. But you got to put that qualifier on it because people be like, "You don't drink."
A real title fight. Like, when was the last one that captured anybody's?
That's subjective.
The wider public's imagination.
Okay. All right, give me one.
Because I mean, if you're a huge boxing head, you're going to have big fights. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, are we going back to the Tyson days? As a champ, like for the belt.
Then you're going to have to say that the Klitschko's and all those other fighters. See, there's boxers yelling at the radio right now.
I know. I get it. But we're talking about like iconic events.
Like the Super Bowl brings in people who aren't necessarily football fans.
When was the last one that did that? It's been a long time.
404-726.
I don't know if it'll happen again.
Hang on a second. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Be nice. I'm telling y'all, be nice to Noel when you call up, but we want to know what you think. Because I don't have a definitive answer on this.
I don't know.
There are people. I mean, I could guess, and I could actually say instead of Tyson, I could say maybe one of the George Foreman fights. You know, I don't know.
Maybe.
But there are people out there who could say something, and I'd go, oh, yeah, I forgot about that one. So there you go, 404-726-0929. There is a are you old enough to remember what life was like around here when Barry Bonds was chasing Hank Aaron?
Yes.
And say what you will. I'm going to put...
That was a weird one.
I'm going to suspend, you know, the obvious 400-pound gorilla. We'll put that over there.
Kind of a big part of that one.
I know, but it was still an iconic record.
Yeah, the moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so coming up on that, everything led as far as the sports world with that chase. And that's been the last time, because baseball, more than any other sport, holds on to its records very tightly. Well, there's one going on right now, and there's somebody who's chasing the guy who, by the way, whose nickname is the Great One,
mm-hmm.
and his record is within 10 of being broken. And that is Wayne Gretzky's, what I believed and a lot of people believed was an untouchable record, and that was 894 goals. 894 mm-hmm. goals, and Alex Ovechkin has got 885 right now. He might have got one in the next last day or two that I haven't counted, but he's within 10 of reaching that. And for that iconic record to be approached the way it is, now you can bring up all manner of arguments as to why it's not being talked about. You know, these are a couple, you know, they're non-Americans. The sport is somewhere behind college football. And if you want to say MLS or whatever sport is better than them, this is still worthy of starting every broadcast, I believe.
It's hard to say. Like, one, like we talked about with the broadcast side of things, I think we're in a different world of how all this stuff gets talked about now. But I remember when Gretzky set the record. I wasn't like a hockey fan as a kid, but I remember that being a big deal.
Because of what he did. He came on the scenes in the hockey world like Tiger came in the golf.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and then he was with L.A. when he broke the record, right?
Right.
So
right.
That added a lot to it. That was a huge trade. That stopped all the presses everywhere. Now, I mean, what's interesting is I'm not following hockey closely. We don't have a team in Atlanta.
No,
I don't have a connection to it, but I go to look on, you know, on Apple News and hit the NHL tab. There's not anything there.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, in hockey, they're not talking about
it. Well, they're talking about it, you know, enough, and there's places that if you watch enough hockey, you will see that being
discussed. But no, this is what I'm saying. Like, if you go to Apple News and you click NHL, latest NHL news.
I understand.
It's not there, and that's crazy.
He's got to get, you know, when he gets there, it'll happen. I just believe that it's one of those things that they'll wait till he's one or two away, and then they'll act like they've been covering it the whole time and all of that. And what he's done, this dude, and not only that, he's chasing this record, but he, because he got a hat trick earlier, it was last week, got a hat trick. So, you know, that propelled him. 39 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the first person in the history of the sport, including that dude named Gretzky, to have 200 goals in three different decades.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I know. It's a big deal.
Let's just not sleep on that. You want to talk about being a sports fan in this country, you should know about what's going on right now and what's, you know, this sport over here. If there was somebody approaching Jimmy Johnson's NASCAR record of 7 championships,
it'd be the same thing as this.
Down here in the South, it wouldn't.
No, it still would be, I think.
I disagree with you 100%. If that NASCAR record
would you be leading your show with that?
I'll tell you what. Yeah, if there was somebody who was about to break that record, and even more so if it was going to happen at Atlanta Motor Speedway.
That's a little different.
All right, but
what record would do it? That's what I was thinking as we were talking about
NASCAR,
this.
If you're about to get 201 and pass the king.
I don't think it would.
That's you, though. I'm just telling you, down here, since I've been living here, these people eat through tree bark, that, you know, when it comes to NASCAR. There's certain sports. And I tell you
I grew up down here. I know. Trust me.
No, but here's the thing. I will say the same thing about Atlanta now in 2025 about MLS and soccer. Because this is such an international city, I'm not talking about Grady babies getting all worked up into a lather. I'm talking about the people who've moved here from other countries who have now made up the core of this city. We've seen on a somewhat regular basis this city showing that it's international-like. Not just because of Hartsfield, not just because of how many people go into Mercedes-Benz Stadium when, you know, Messi shows up. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about overall, you are reminded that this is an international city.
Yeah.
And that's just one part of it. So I would say the same thing about soccer as I say about NASCAR. In the South, when it comes to that, if that record was being approached, people in Chicago would order another slice. But down here, things would stop. Sam talks about that bell being rung up there in Dawsonville when Chase Elliott wins. You got NASCAR fans
weaved into the
motherboard of this South.
No, I got you. But what resonates in Dawsonville is different than what resonates in Atlanta and other cities, too. And I think like some of this is just down to the way that we consume sports at this point. I can't think of a record, really, that would be treated the way that when Gretzky broke it, when Bonds broke that record, when Walter Payton broke the rushing record, and you remember the chase and all the 1998 home run chase, like all these kinds of things. I don't know of anything across any sport.
All right, I'll give
that
you
would
one.
Get treated
we,
that same
we,
way.
As we go to break, no, treated the same, no, because media is fractured the way, you know, the difference between 96. It's fractured. But I'll tell you what, think about the coverage last year when we watched Ohtani do what he did and how that was talked about. If he comes close and he's not been a sniff as far as being considered in that world of using, you know, sports enhancing drugs and all of that, he's not been connected with that in any sort. So if he comes close to 73, I think you'll get that. I think that will be one of those records. I'm trying to. Give me another one. Give me a minute because I'll think of a couple of. What? Name you what?
No, I said maybe. Would.
Because it's baseball. There's no NFL record I can think of.
No.
There's one. Whoever that dude is getting ready to get 8 Super Bowls to pass Brady, that quarterback. Patrick Mahomes gets there.
That'll be talked about, but that's different than a record chase. Like, that's not the same.
Look at what happened this year. Everything was about the three-peat. And that consumed everything.
Yeah, that's a team thing. That's different. And that's not comparable
I'm talking about
like that individual career kind of mark, like Ovechkin and goals. Like the points record in the NBA, the rushing record, those sorts of things.
Yeah, I was about to say, let me say this, because like I felt like the triple-double record in the NBA was going to be a bigger deal, and it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
People found every which way to try to diminish Westbrook's accomplishment. And so I think you might see a little bit of that more with these records, like just certain ways of like, let's say if Saquon would have broke the rushing record this season, then there would have been people talking about Eric Dickerson did it in 14
right.
games.
There's
always going to be something there, that's some kind of qualifier.
To that point.
Even if Barry Bonds would have broke it.
To that point, did people say what they said this past week when LeBron hit 50K and say, well, Kareem didn't have no three-point line?
Well,
you know what I mean? So it took him all that time.
Man, if Kareem had started shooting threes, we would all have been in trouble.
Man.
Well, we got Dirk hitting him, and he's over 7 feet. They're about the same height.
Yeah,
and you got 7'5" dude out there who's hitting him. I'm just saying the context that comes along with that because of the advancement of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
right.
So,
like Garrett not even believing that Will Chamberlain scored 100 points.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't believe it?
Do you believe
it? He doesn't believe it.
Oh, you ain't heard that, Jason?
What?
Jason,
what happened?
He doesn't believe it.
The Gen Zers, and led by our own Garrett Chapman.
He's
more of a millennial.
Does he think it's a conspiracy?
We got two.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What?
Yes. He said it publicly. And what? There's somebody else here, too. Who else is it, along with Garrett here, that works here, that said the same? They're kind of like...
I haven't heard anybody else. Was it Abe? That sounds like some Abe.
Oh, I'm going to have to talk to Abe about this.
I don't know.
I'm guessing. Don't put my name on it. I'm guessing.
All right, all right.
Abe's been giving it to me the last couple weeks. I like Abe. Abe's got one of those voices that it projects, and I don't know when he's messing with me. So I always get sucked in. He's got me a couple times.
So Garrett thinks Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points. Garrett thinks that is a conspiracy. Yeah. It didn't happen.
He questions whether or not – he questions its authenticity.
Wow.
And he's in a group of
people.
I didn't
know that was a conspiracy thing.
I didn't either.
I had no idea.
I thought we all just accepted that one and moved on.
He held the sign up. He held the piece of paper up.
We're the same category of folks who all thought, oh, of course we went to the moon. Until we run into that dude.
Oh, boy.
All right. Sam and Greg, this is Jason Longshore in for Mr. Crenshaw. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you on the Odyssey app.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City. Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on. 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.